Hello everybody and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers. Now, we're going to start this episode before we get onto the topic of choice, which is Serie A. I'm going to see if Josh remembers last week's episode, where he should have done some thinking and come back with his ultimate hat trick. No, folks, Josh is slightly hungover today, as he just announced to me. It is morning time for him. Josh, is your perfect hat trick still a left-footed scuffed finish, a right-footed penalty, and a header?
Yeah, can't improve on it, actually.
Can't improve? Yeah. Okay.
I'll be happy with anything. I'll be happy grabbing a goal. I'll be happy but one doesn't get chalked off for an own goal, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, right. Well, we're talking Serie A and Italy. Mainly Syria, but also involving around Italy. And thoughts about that? Because in my mind, I wanted to talk about Syria because I think, I don't know whether it's the rose-tinted age of when we grew up with Golazzo on Channel 4. I don't even know if that was what it was called Football Italia.
Yeah, Gazzetta Football Italia, yeah.
Gazzetta Football Italia. Was it as good as I remember? And is it as good now? So the first question is, what are your memories of Serie A? What do you, if I said to you, Josh, tell me about Serie A, what do you think?
Baggy shirts, long baggy hair. Shirts.
Right.
Rubbish stadiums.
Okay.
With running tracks.
Right.
Scandal.
Ooh.
But during the 90s, the best players. That's what it had going for at that point. Had the best players.
And players that come to the top of your heads when you think of Football Italia in the 90s?
Well, the person who kind of started all for England was Gazza. The Gazza's move to Lazio coincided with one of the first, with Channel 4 getting the rights to Serie A, creating that TV show, which was originally thought meant to be hosted by Paul Gascoigne.
Was it?
And they realised that was a crazy idea.
Yeah.
And so James Richardson steps in. So he kind of starts that and he has a pretty unsuccessful stint at Lazio. I mean, that paved the way for other English players like David Platt.
Sampdoria.
Yeah, Sampdoria.
David Platt playing for Sampdoria was the cover of my Sabutio box.
Really? So, never had Sabutio. Yeah. There was another one, which was magnetic.
The magnetic one, you pushed them down and they kicked it. It moved in the direction you went. That was more towards kids after Sabutio. But as I got older, like Sabutio, if I could play Sabutio now, I'd love it. Because it is very tactical.
It feels like it's one of those things, if you had a nice old man cave, you'd have a real nice setup going on. Yeah. You'd get a really flat pitch. Not like when you used to roll it out, it used to be creased because it was all folded up. It was like, yeah, ignore them. You also used to play the cricket game as well.
Oh, I did. A friend from primary school, I think, had that. I don't think I ever played it. Like, I didn't own it, but I played it a couple of times.
Yeah, so the bowler, it went down a little chute. The bowler went down. And I think it was a little string. You had the bat. And then the fielders all had a kind of like a horseshoe. And then it went into them. They were caught out. Yeah, what? Some good times. Serie A, though.
Serie A.
They had the Ballon d'Or winners. They had the highest transfer fees. So they had, I mean, the Italians, you got your Roberto Baggio's, your Del Piero's. But even just like the Sinisa Mihailovic's, they're not even like that great, but like playing football games like Christian Kivu and Alvaro Bacobas and Zamorano and Salas, Veron. It's just it's the glamour of that era. They had it.
Yeah.
And they just never really maximised it. They just spent it all on fancy players.
Yeah, true. I mean, that era was like Parma, wasn't it? It was peak.
Yeah. Parma sums it up, doesn't it?
Buffon,
Thuram, Cannavaro, Sensini, Veron, Asprilla, Crespo, and also Fiorentina as well, don't you? Like Batistuta, Rui Costa, Delivio. Because at that time, Premier League wasn't what it is now. We kind of pushed on, and Serie A was where the excitement was, the glamour.
So it leads nicely into my next question then. In your opinion, and obviously, you know, we've looked around and talked about Serie A in its peak, is there a moment it all went wrong? Was it just the formulation of the Premier League, or was there something
So
more than that.
I think it's what it's both. So Italy had its heyday. England were banned from European competitions because of a Hazel disaster. So Serie A, Italian clubs won lots of European trophies. Had a great 90s. Premier League formed early 90s, still in its infancy, and starts to, Premier League markets itself pretty well because lots of money coming in. When there's a pull of players, players coming from Serie A to Premier League. With Italy, with all its money, as I said, it just bought really good players and paid them lots of money. It didn't really market itself very well. Any new stadiums you can really think of at Serie A? But as I said earlier, I can just think of lots of running tracks and dilapidated stadiums. And you look at it, it doesn't invigorate the mind. It's like, oh, look at this well-sported match. It's like, why is there like a section of fans playing on this grotty pitch? Whereas the Premier League went, you know what, we're making the pitches look really nice. The stadiums are going to be done and they're all being packed out. It makes you feel like it's in a big event rather than in Italy. It felt a bit odd. So,
was it like a lack of embracement of technology, do you think? Because obviously the Premier League did well because of Sky embracing satellite TV and manipulation, for want of a better word, of images to make the grass look greener and the kits look brighter.
I think it's probably something bureaucracy-wise in terms of building stadiums. I think it's probably to get through a lot of, I think because like one of the Milan clubs, is it? Well, Juventus have tried to build stadiums. I think Juventus have built a stadium. Milan clubs are trying to. It just seems to take a long time now. I think we're in England. We kind of very much embrace like let's build like. Like, I mean, how many of the Premier League sides have had new stadiums? And that part of it is we've still got the money, but Italy had the money and didn't build new stadiums. And therefore, it's just a little bit less enticing to go and play there. And then the scandal that goes with it, so 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
That doesn't help things, I don't think. I think people might want to, they don't want to play a season like Juventus did. And win the title and it be taken away from them. It's not an enticing prospect for a player, I don't think.
Yeah, it's one of the questions I was going to get onto later. Is like obviously there was the main scandal around Juventus in recent times, but there's always been an underlying sort of, I can't think of the word, like known underlying factors of match fixing or.
Yeah, well, you've got clubs. Directors not behaving themselves. You've got fans not behaving themselves. Like how much racism there is you experience, yeah. and the behaving like the way the ultras behave, and it from an outside looking in, it doesn't feel like an attractive proposition to go and play for.
Yeah,
play in that league or to market it. You go, I don't really want that. It's not as clean cut as things like to be when they're being marketed. Like England have cleaned up their hooliganism during that period.
True.
Which,
true.
Yeah.
So if you were, so sub question then, you're a player, you've just scored your perfect hat trick,
yeah,
we've touched on previously.
Yeah, it's in the headlines.
The headlines are going wild, yeah.
Yeah.
They're calling you the next Dirk Kuyt.
Yeah.
And you're not happy. You're not happy at
Spurs. Where am I?
For some reason. They've reappointed Antonio Conte and it doesn't fit your flair style, right? And
as we've seen from those three goals.
Yeah, exactly. So, what are your preferences to move leagues? You're not allowed to stay in the Premier League, but Daniel Levy's come out and he said, you're just like Harry Kane. We're not selling you to a Premier League club. Where are you going? What's your league preference?
I would say, in order of preference, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, Liga.
Oh, okay.
What would yours be?
I think I'd go La Liga at the top. And I think I'd put Serie A second for me over Bundesliga. I think the Bundesliga is a bit too. If Bayern aren't signing you, you ain't winning.
There is, yeah. Am I signing for Bayern? Yeah.
Bayern aren't signing you. They've got Harry Kane.
So many. I'm probably sound like a broken record. The stadiums, the fans, it's fools. Like the amount of.
Yeah.
It feels exciting there. Lots of young players coming through. Italy now, without this lack of money, they're losing players to the Premier League. Like Spurs have signed Destiny Udogi. It's like one of Italy's top young prospects. Scamacca went to West Ham. It feels wrong in that sense. And it's very the kind of the the Mitchell & Webb quote, are we the bad guys? The Premier League, it does feel like the bad guys now in terms of what other leagues stand a chance with the amount of money we have, and similar to what, but we're capitalising on it, really kind of marketing it really well, continuing to grow revenues. Like Juventus signed Ronaldo, and I don't think they really capitalised on that as a thing. I think being serious, like the broadcasting of it, and I think revenues went down over that period rather than up.
I was going to say, like, I imagine in Italy it was quite heavily sort of publicised that they had signed Ronaldo, but it didn't seem to be a worldwide fanfare. Not even when like Madrid signed him from United, that was worldwide fanfare. There was a big presentation. They put it on Sky. They put it on Sky Italia. They put it on Sky Germany. It was everywhere. But I don't really remember a fanfare of Ronaldo signing for Juventus, and then it all went pretty wrong anyway. So, yeah, interesting. Okay, so we're both putting Serie A third at best.
Yeah.
In our leagues at the moment. So, yeah, bit of a shame, isn't it, to think that it used to be this world-class league and it was just one little lack of marketing. Like, maybe a topic for a future podcast, then, is the Super League and the future of football.
Well, yeah, because they were obviously very keen to have that, weren't they?
Is it because the Premier League is so dominant?
Yeah, there's definitely one from other fallen giants, as it were. To have that money back in there and that status back in there, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So touching on you mentioned it before, the football, the scandal, is it the most recent one? Who knows what's going on at the moment? But it was like 2011, 2012, isn't it? I think is the one that's... Or is there a more recent one than that with Juventus?
Well, Juventus, yeah, in the kind of financial side of things, because obviously we've got Paratici suspended from football operations, Nedved as well. Yeah, and it's just that's the thing. It's ongoing. We had the Calciopoli, is it the 2005-06? We got stripped of a title, but as an outside looking in, that was also quite exciting, and seeing getting relegated. What players were going to stick with the club, going down into the division. So that was the John Alan Boomsong era, wasn't it? At centre back for Juventus.
It was, yeah. Bloody hell, I forgot about that. Yeah, so. A quick look on Wikipedia. The 11-12 Italian football match-fixing scandal. Now, do you have much memory of this? Do you know?
Negative.
So I don't think this got too much attention. But just to let you know, first-degree sentences. So this is clubs that got sentenced for match-fixing on the 9th of August in 2011. Atalanta, Ascoli Calcio, Hellas Verona, Sassuolo, Alessandria Calcio, Benevento, Cremonese, Asperia Viegro, don't know who they are, Piacenza Calcio, Sumega, Ravenna, Reginia, Spezia, Taranto, and Virtus Entella. That's a lot of clubs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15 clubs all got sentenced because of match fixing. And that ranged from monetary fines to point deductions and fines, relegation. So Alessandro Calcio got relegated to the Lega Pro Second Division, which I assume is very low down in Italy. And Ravenna Calcio got relegated from La Liga Pro Prima Division to Lega Pro Second Division and a 50,000 fine and exclusion from a season of football as well. So, yeah, pretty bad, isn't it? It's pretty bad.
And you wonder if there's the want to properly clean up, or if is it impossible to, is it too far gone to properly clean up and be rid of all these things? Because I imagine the same people are going to be involved in the football world, because that seems so widespread that can they properly clear a name and be rid of these issues? The ownership being clean, the matches being clean, referees being clean. It's just become unappealing, I think.
And obviously we're coming from this with the knowledge that we have available at the moment that the Premier League doesn't have any of this, and La Liga is, you know, things are coming out about Barcelona
paying referees
and things like that. So we can only go with the evidence we've got at the moment, and the evidence is that Italy has a lot more of these than any other big European league that we follow. It's an interesting thing to talk about, because obviously the Juventus scandal was probably the biggest that I remember in our lifetime about a big club, and there was the whole Netflix documentary around it where they had recordings of the directors, I think, talking to referees and literally offering them money to undercover agents and stuff like that. So it's a very interesting. But then you look back at it and you've got like Colina reffed in Serie A, didn't he? He was Pierluigi Colina, was a Serie A referee and was one of the best referees. I just imagine they knew he was so inherently had so much integrity is the word I'm looking for, that they'd never tried it, or they did and he said no and he didn't report it. I was like,
well, you just never know, do you? I suppose it would be such a big story if it came out that he did, because he's so revered, who knows.
Yeah, very true. Okay,
so I mean, to think of a Premier League being absent of things like this is probably naive, though. Like, it's kind of where there's money, there's corruption. Really, you look at FIFA and UEFA. Why would the Premier League be any different?
Yeah,
it's just undone.
Very true. I think you've used that line too early, Josh. I feel like that could have ended the podcast. Oh. Wherever there's money, there's corruption. But we'll carry on.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can edit it into the end as well. but okay, so what? I don't think this is an easy question to answer. But in your mind, what could Serie A do to try and get back to the peak? And how close is it to that peak now? Because they do still have world-class superstars there. Like, what sort of level do you put it at in terms of away from the Premier League or La Liga? And what can they do to get back there? And how do you think it works in your mind?
It's not a quick, easy fix, I don't think. But it initially needs to clean house within it. So you get rid of it needs to take a tougher stance on racism, hooliganism, corruption, so it's clean in those instances. Whether it does something in terms of stadium building and making sure that they're fit for purpose, because they just seem a bit tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether there's something like a kind of governmental piece where making it easier for football stadiums to be built, because it gentrifies the area as well, which can have benefits. But ultimately, it's a kind of that collective ownership around how they're going to financially recover, because they were kind of pretty weak before COVID. Juventus were making huge losses. It's not like COVID, and so therefore COVID had a more pronounced effect because they were weak and ready to tumble anyway. So, part of it is just having good young players, because if you can't buy them, you've got to have good young players. Whereas it seems like they've Juventus. Was it Di Maria on a free? And it's kind of those type of players, and players are bleeding out to going to other divisions, aren't they? You see time and time again. But it's about how that money is invested. It comes down to each individual owner, but I'm not sure the league can do. But the league can obviously try and market itself better and ensure things look pretty and it's promoting itself out there and making sure it's selling the TV rights. But there's definitely the ownership of each individual club has to take something on board to want to grow in a natural way rather than the short-termism you see by signing an old player on a free.
Yeah, okay. Because talking of signings and stuff, an exit that happened this summer, I think it was, Tonali.
Yeah.
Boyhood club AC Milan going to Newcastle. I mean, there's a lot of money at Newcastle and that would definitely have influenced his decision. But I think even in footballing terms, to see the direction of both clubs, it would have been a big pull.
Yeah,
anyway.
Both clubs went for foreign ownership. One worked out well. So Milan obviously was Chinese ownership, and then that ended. It's still ongoing, but the money dried up.
Yeah,
ownership Newcastle Saudi money, a wash with it. But yeah, it doesn't feel nice. That was when you feel like the bad guys as a fan of a Premier League club, when you're taking Milan's kind of new hero, their best young player, and it's going to Newcastle. No disrespect to Newcastle, it just doesn't feel like it should happen.
Yeah, it should have been like Real Madrid or a Man City, for example, who have just won the treble and they're picking up AC Milan's best
player. But well done to Newcastle making that sign, but it just doesn't feel. It feels like you see it with Brentford signing players from Serie A, and all the Premier League clubs can pretty much outspend any Serie A club.
Crazy. Right, so let's quickly test your knowledge, our knowledge, see if we can help each other out.
Okay.
Can we name 11 in a formation, so a legitimate formation, let's go 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, can we name 11 players playing in Serie A? Surely we can. But
currently playing?
Currently playing. So goalkeeper. Chesney. That suits any formation. Chesney.
Yes.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's made a couple of absolute shockers the other week. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's not a top... I don't think he's a world-class goalkeeper. I never have done.
Okay. Fair enough, yeah. That's fine. It's a player playing in...
But to keep it topical, we could put Olivier Giroud in goal after he...
we could. Yeah. I did read that in the headlines. Lovely stuff. Love an outfield player going in goal.
Yeah.
Right back.
Cuadrado. I'm going kind of right wing back, but Cuadrado I'm going for.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll take that. Juventus, if he's still there, again. Yeah. I couldn't tell you if Cuadrado is still playing for Juventus.
I can't find anyone new. I haven't got any money, so he's definitely kept hold of him.
Okay.
You checking my workings?
Yeah, I am checking your workings, yeah. I'm checking he's still there. You are wrong. He plays for Inter Milan, but he's still in Serie A. So,
ask me why.
Yeah.
Does he?
Cuadrado. Yeah, 35 years old, Inter Milan, number 7. So...
Hmm.
Moved this summer for free after 166 appearances for Juventus. So, okay, but you're lucky. You've lucked out. You've still got a right back. Left back.
Theo Hernandez at AC Milan.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Okay.
Wears like a number 10 shirt or something. He was amazing for them against Spurs last year.
Yeah, he is still there. Number 19 he wears this year. Number 19.
Oh.
I would have gone Spinazzola from Roma.
Oh, lovely player. Lovely Euros. Yeah. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Centre backs.
Well, now you've said Roma, I'm going for Chris Smalling.
Yeah, Smaldini.
Smaldini, yeah.
Got another one?
I'm aided here because Spurs, because of Paratici, got linked with a lot of Italian players.
There's, okay.
I think his name is Petr Schurs, Chuurs.
Yeah, I do recognise the name.
Or Gleison Bremer, who you previously been linked with.
So, Per Schurs, is that the one you're going for?
Is it Per Schurs? Yeah, that's it.
So, Per Schurs is... Oh, no, hang on. He's at Torino. Yeah, he's at Torino. I was confused because the first hit is a Welcome to Arsenal video, ?
It must have been linked to someone jumped the gun.
Yeah, someone's jumped the gun. I was going to say, please don't give me another English centre-back because the obvious one is Tomori.
Yes, it would have been obvious. AC Milan. Yeah.
Yeah, which would have been obvious, but didn't come to your mind.
No.
Right, I'll give you a bit of freedom. What formation are you playing? You've got goalkeeper and a flat-back four.
I'm going for 2-3-1. Reindo. Okay. Yep.
So two centre-mid holding midfielders sort of
thing.
Hit me.
I'm going to go English. Am I allowed it, or do you want to go somewhere else?
If you want to do that, you can do that.
I was going to go Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Oh, yeah. Signed for AC Milan, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Such a good player. Right? He's really, like, technically, physically good, but he does break a bit. He's injury prone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that is your last English player you're allowed in this quiz.
Okay. So I need now to... Oh, Benacer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. His partner at AC Milan, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sticking to AC Milan because Spurs played them last year.
Yeah, that's fine. It's getting you through the quiz. It's Ismail Benacer is still at AC Milan. Yes. Correct. Right, so right wing.
He's a winger and he's actually had a really successful time in Serie A.
Does he play for AC Milan?
No, he doesn't. He has done, I think. De La Feu. I don't know where to put him, but he's had such a I always really enjoyed him. Such a great dribbly player, and he had that little weird kind of shot on him, didn't he? That kind of like just on his instep. So yeah, I'm going with. Not quite sure where we're positioning him.
Right. So, Wikipedia, which is the fountain of all knowledge,
absolutely. What does it tell us?
They say he mainly plays as a forward for Udinese. Can play as a winger on both flanks. So my question to you is, are you putting him centre forward?
No. I'll think of a better centre forward than that.
So we'll go De La Feu, right wing.
Okay.
Right wing. Number 10, right wing.
Yep.
Left wing.
I've got to avoid Milan now as well, because I know Milan a bit better. I'm going to avoid Milan.
Rafael Leao.
Or Pulisic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So... Where can I go? Oh, Loriente. Loriente? I think
there's
a... Yeah.
What? Not Marcus, surely. Marcus Llorente plays for Atletico Madrid, right wing, or right back.
No, that's Llorente. This is Laurente.
Laurente. Oh my God, he does exist. He is Sassuolo.
Yeah, good dribbly boy. Has a very powerful shot on him.
Left wing. Not going to give you him as a left winger, though.
Plays left wing. What's it saying?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, it does. Oof. Yeah, I've clicked on it. It said forward, and then I've clicked on the page or left wing
for Italian. Yeah, I've seen it. All I've seen him do is cut in from the left wing, so I was like, hey.
Okay.
I need a number 10, do I?
Yeah, you need an attacking midfielder now that won't be wearing the number 10 shirt because that's gone to Gerard Deulofeu on the right wing.
This is true. I've given it to him.
You've given yourself plenty of options, though, because Armand Llorente wears number 45. So,
I'd say more than any other country or league.
Odd numbers.
They do like a big number, don't they?
Yeah, they do like a big number.
So we got Roma.
I've got one. I think he plays for AC Milan. Oh, no, Inter Milan.
So... I can't even name. So he's not an attacking midfielder, he's a winger. I actually don't even know how to say his name either. It's the Napoli left winger.
Kvaratskhelia.
I'm not even sure that's right, Dave. But
no, it's
yeah,
not, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, but that's I'm just naming a player now.
I mean, you could bail out and say he'll go on the wing and Deulofeu goes in behind the striker, but I'm not
going to
let you do that.
No, don't do that.
So the player that I thought of that first came to my mind played for AC Milan and moved to Inter Milan 2 years ago.
Played for AC Milan, moved to Inter Milan. Oh, yes. Kahanoglu.
Yes, Hakan. Kahanoglu. Very good free kick taker.
Yeah, great technique. So, great shot technique.
And then I'd say Italy has a very good number of centre-forward strikers that are wanted across... bigger leagues, bigger teams in Europe. So which one are you putting to spearhead?
I'm being spearheaded by Dusan Vlahovic.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Just like the way he looks. Yeah.
Big fan of him. He's the striker I want to see come to the Premier League and see if he can do it. You know, see if he can cut it in the Premier League because he hasn't done it in Serie A.
No. I think he'd be just... You know when... what's his name? Alvaro Negredo came to... Yeah. I feel like they're similar players. Quite powerful, left-footed forwards, but not going to tear up the league, but you know, score a decent number of goals.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting? I said he hasn't done it in Serie A. Obviously at Fiorentina, where he came to prominence.
His season well, I think.
Yeah, 44 in 98 at Fiorentina.
Yeah,
in the league. 21 in 48 in Juventus, so nearly 1 in 2.
Yeah.
Far off. It's not too bad.
So who's doing quite well there is Adamola Lookman at Atalanta. I think he's having a good time there.
Didn't make your team, though.
No, didn't make my team.
Well, he's an Englishman, isn't he? He's English, isn't he? I can't remember if he took a different nationality.
I've got Billy took other nationality.
Yeah.
Nigerian, yeah. Eight appearances in Nigeria. 2 goals.
There you go.
Can you name... 4 other clubs. Well, he's played for 1, 2, 3, 4. He said he played for 5 other clubs in his career. How many can you name?
Oh, he had a loan in Germany.
He did have a loan in Germany. They made it permanent.
Leverkusen?
Negative. Neverkusen.
right, Adamo.
You started off difficult there, Dave. Surely you know.
The Premier League teams is what I should have gone with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm questioning myself of who he's played. Fulham?
Yes, had a loan at Fulham. From Leipzig.
Who's his parent club? Who's his parent? Oh, Leipzig.
I'll give it to you.
That was his German team.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was his first club? Leicester?
He had a loan to Leicester, also from Leipzig. Then moved on permanently to Atalanta. He started at Charlton Athletic.
Charlton, yeah, okay.
Then Everton signed him,
yeah,
loaned him to Leipzig, sold to Leipzig, loaned to Fulham, loaned to Leicester, sold to Atalanta.
Right, bloody hell, that's a Interesting career, that, yeah.
Isn't it?
Interesting career.
I like it. Right. Oh, he's played, just a lad from London, he's played in Germany and Italy. We would not have been able to say that 10 years ago for players.
No. No, not at all. I agree. Is there, you were talking about Dusan Vlahovic as well. What is there another player you'd like to see come from Italy, given a go, a younger player to the Premier League? Spurs, we're going to sign someone.
It would be one of the Napoli front two, I'd have thought. Osimhen, yeah. Or the aforementioned Georgian left winger.
Kvaratskhelia, yeah. We'll go with. Yeah, yeah. There's so many more letters in it than Kvaratskhelia that I've got to be saying that wrong.
Yeah, and he did a video of the pronunciation and it did not help.
So you're going for Osimhen, okay.
Yeah, yeah, Osimhen. I can say that, yeah. Osimhen, yeah. You got any... well, actually, no, don't answer that. I've got a question later.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to go to your final question if you want, unless there's anything else around Syria you'd like to discuss, past or present.
No, I've got my question for you then.
Okay.
You take the current Manchester United side, which is in slight disarray.
Oh, well, whoa. We won yesterday. So leave that away. It's a turning point.
You take the current Manchester United side, which is in slight disarray.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Which Serie A player, past or present, do you drop into that side and become, and it has the biggest positive impact?
Oh, past or present. Oh.
And their, it would be their form. It's not, you can't take Ronaldo. You take Juventus Ronaldo and bring him in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm immediately drawn to R9 at Inter. But that's because I love R9.
I mean, that would have a big impact.
It would have a massive impact, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would have a massive impact.
But is that where you best need most help, though?
Well, not necessarily. Well, I mean, if you brought in
Nesta or Cannavaro, do you think that would also have an amazing impact?
My other pull was Lilian Thuram from Parma, young, good form, versatile at the back would be good. But then you've got Cannavaro, maybe even like a Totti, because I used to love. I'm very biased to people I used to love in this era.
What about a
Buffon?
You've done it. You brought in a Veron back in the day. It didn't work. It wouldn't work now either.
I'm trying to think. I'll nail it down to one. I'll nail it down to one person. I'm going to go...
And you're thinking by quality of person rather than position, are you?
Wow, I think when you look at things in the past, you always go by people you like rather than position. I think, and this is what would help the team, not I would want to see. That's what's making it a little bit tougher. It's really difficult. Because right at this minute, probably a goalkeeper... But I do think Onana will come good. I think he just needs to be dropped for a couple of games and relax.
He needs some confidence. He's been shaken ever since that lob. He got lobbed. I feel like he doesn't even know. He's just second-guessing himself. Either that or his instruction, or he's just second-guessing himself, not coming off his line. And he seems a shadow of his former confident self.
I agree. No, I think I am going to go for a player that I loved and a... I think R9 would be my choice, but I'm not going to go for R9 because I said it earlier. So I'm going to go for a centre forward who I absolutely loved, which was Batistuta.
That would be nice.
An absolute powerhouse of a striker.
Batigol
on his top form. Like, I think that would, if you put him in the United team now, I think you could concede two or three a game and still win. Because I think his all-round play, like, he's tall, he could head the ball, his shots, his movement.
Oh, yeah.
It was just...
His hair.
He's
got to wear a really baggy shirt as well with... Is it PlayStation? Was that the sponsor? Nintendo.
Nintendo for Fiorentina. Nintendo. I mean, I'd love to see him in a old-style Vodafone Man United shirt.
Yeah.
Like a baggy Vodafone Man United shirt. The gold and black one that was reversible if you bought it at the shop. Can you remember that?
Reversible? No, I don't remember this.
I'm pretty sure the players didn't wear play in a reversible shirt.
It was to play on the to play at the park so you could do two different colours.
Yeah, I don't know why they sold it, but it was one side was black and one side was gold. And then I think the sleeves changed and they were both official kits.
So was there no labels and hems and stuff?
No,
when you turn a shirt inside out, it's rubbish, isn't it? It's
all smart. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, but it definitely was a thing.
Mm.
Man United had a red home shirt, a black away shirt, and a gold third kit. And they sold the black away shirt and the gold third kit as one that was reversible. Unless they just stitched another shirt on like the inside. You know how you get those like swimming trunks that have those pants on the inside?
Uncomfortable, very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I'd say. Like they really kind of tear you in two.
But a necessity, because otherwise your balls hang out, don't they?
Yeah, and that is not a good thing at a public swimming pool.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. So,
Taking the S off speedos.
We'll end it on that, rather than wherever there's money, there's corruption. The netting on the shorts is saving the S off speedo. I nearly said.
Don't say
I'm not going to say it. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week, where it's Josh's topic of choice and questions of choice. And I know he's got some interesting ones lined up as well that should prompt some good discussion. But if you enjoyed listening, please do let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at Wikipedia Wanderers. Find us on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. And we're on Spotify and Apple Music, where you can just subscribe and follow us and then get like new episodes at your doorstep coming in your ears. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.